This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Before we talk about the Wednesday audience, what is the latest? What is going on with the health of Pope Francis?
Yes. So these last days, he has been dealing with what the Vatican's calling a mild flu-like condition. So this past Saturday, Pope Francis canceled his meeting with transitional deacons from the Diocese of Rome. So these are deacons who are preparing to be ordained to the priesthood in April. And that was the reason given for this flu-like condition. Then the next day, on Sunday, the Pope did appear for his weekly Sunday Angelus that he prays there from the window in St. Peter's Square. And he seemed to be in good form, and everything went on as scheduled. But then again, on Monday, this past Monday, the Vatican announced that Pope Francis' audiences for the day had indeed been suspended. They said as a precautionary measure due to these persisting flu symptoms. So this week, we weren't sure if the audience would happen today, but indeed it did, John. Indeed, it was held at Pope Paul VI Audience Hall. And although the Pope was there, he opted that his remarks were read by an official from the Secretariat of State, which has happened before. And so, but indeed, he was there and in good form for the audience today.
Well, I'm glad that he was at least in good enough spirits to make it to the audience, although not fully participating. What was the main message that was read by this Vatican official?
Well, he continued to speak about vice and virtue, and this week specifically on the sins of envy and vain glory. So he said that first about envy, he said that it goes all the way back to Cain and Abel, and it really leads to a deadly hatred in the soul. So we have to be aware of it. He said that the basis of envy is what he called a love-hate relationship, where one desires evil for the other, but actually secretly also desires to be like him and believes that this good fortune that the other has is actually an injustice, that I would deserve these successes or I would deserve this good fortune much more than this other person. And he said that at the root of this vice is a false idea of God. He said it comes when people don't understand that God has, in the Pope's words, his own math that's different from ours. So God knows who gets what. And he said there is a solution to this, though. And he looked specifically to St. Paul and his exhortation to love one another with brotherly affection, complete in esteeming one another. And then Pope Francis went on to speak about vain glory. And he said that this is an excessive pride, and especially pride in your achievements. He said that it's marked by inflated self-esteem and a craving for constant praise. He said to combat this, again, look to St. Paul and St. Paul's example of boasting of his weaknesses rather than his achievements. And that is going to offer an effective way to overcome it. He said that overall, to look to St. Paul's idea that Christ's grace is sufficient and to accept that even to embrace our weaknesses, remembering that the power of Christ will set us free. And in that freedom, we can love others more generously. And then, John, today the Pope finished the audience by calling out, especially for prayer for people who are suffering on account of war. And he mentioned the people of Ukraine, the people of Palestine, and specifically victims of recent terror attacks in Burkina Faso. This was when last Sunday, 15 worshipers were killed in an attack on a church in Burkina Faso. And then another attack in a mosque left dozens of people dead as well. So he asked all faithful to especially pray for peace in these places, John.
And this is something that Pope Francis has consistently been doing, praying for peace and an end to all of these wars, especially Ukraine, with this two-year anniversary that we just experienced over this past weekend. And, of course, what's going on in the Middle East, which has been going on, you know, since October 7th. So we continue to pray.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, you're right. It's been a continuous theme. And indeed, he's asked us to also pray during this time to remove all vices that lead to conditions that do not promote peace.
I love the Holy Father's insight about God's math. You know, our ways are not God's ways. And, you know, he keeps score differently, and he has his reasons for allowing things to happen. And I think it's a matter of understanding, you know, God's divine providence as to, you know, why some people get certain gifts and other people do not.
It's one of those things that we'll never understand, and we don't have to either, which is actually quite a relief as well. All we have to do is submit and trust and love, and that's a great formula.
For sure. All right. World Catacombs Day is coming up this weekend on March 2nd. Wow, that really evokes some memories of traveling through some of those catacombs in Rome when I was there.
Yes.
San Callisto is one that comes to mind.
Yes, San Callisto is a fantastic catacomb, really the largest and, you know, one of the most special to visit. So to celebrate Catacombs Day, the theme of the day has been chosen from remembrance to prayer. And actually on this day, seven catacombs are going to be open to the public for free with free guided tours.
Wow.
And the idea is to allow people to enter and know more about these large underground cemeteries that were used by Christians in Jewish community between the second and the first half of the fifth century. But there are actually 60 catacomb excavations in Rome right now. The reason that they came to be was that a law prohibiting the burial of the dead inside of the city in ancient Rome came about, and that was due to health reasons. And so the construction of the catacombs began when Pope Zephyrinus reigned from 199 AD to 217 AD. He entrusted Deacon Callisto with the task of supervising the cemetery at Via Appia. And that's because most of the important pontiffs of the third century were buried there. And so these underground structures are then hewn into tuff. This is a volcanic rock, and it's easy to dig into. And then at the Christian tombs, they would create symbolic art, paintings and mosaics with symbols of stories of the Old and New Testament, and symbols that refer to eternal salvation, like doves and peacocks and phoenixes and lambs. And this is an opportunity then, celebrating World Catacombs Day, to educate people about this and the importance of these wonderful, wonderful places and monuments, in hopes that so many pilgrims walked before, praying especially for their loved ones and those who had gone before them, waiting, of course, for the resurrection one day.
Is the catacombs part of your repertoire with the Truth and Beauty project there in Roma?
Yeah, so the catacombs actually are run each by different organizations. And so we do love to take people there. And they, like the catacombs of San Callisto, which you mentioned, John, you know, it's a burial place of many Christians. It's really an archaeological treasure there in the Appia Antica. And the network of tunnels underneath extend for over 20 kilometers. And there's 16 popes inside. There's dozens of Christian martyrs. So it is a wonderful an important place to visit on pilgrimage.
Wow. I'd love to go back down there one more time and have you show me around.
Oh, that would be a delight, John.
All right. Well, that's on the bucket list for the next time I make it to Roma. Meanwhile, there is a popular Italian city that's offering citizens a gift for naming their kids after the town's patron saint. I'm dying to know what patron saint are we talking about?
Yes. Well, First of all, this is the town of Matera, and Matera has become really famous in the last decades because, of course, of its ancient cave dwellings where people, members of the population of Matera lived as recently as the 1950s. This was also the same city that The Passion of the Christ was filmed in. It's the same place where the most recent James Bond was filmed in. And it's one of the oldest cities in the world. Now, their cathedral is dedicated to their two patron saints, the Madonna della Bruna, Madonna Bruno, and to Saint Eustachio. We would say Saint Eustace. And citizens in that area have now offered a financial reward to parents who will name their babies after Saint Eustachio, after Saint Eustace. They say that this is an effort to promote devotion and continuity and tradition and to encourage knowledge about this courageous saint. Saint Eustachio was martyred in 118, and this was under the Emperor Hadrian, and it was because he refused to sacrifice to the pagan Roman gods. He is the patron saint of hunters, of firefighters, and torture victims as well, because of the torturous way in which he and his family were eventually put to death. And this idea to name lots more little babies Eustachio, or Eustace, as we'd say in English, is to encourage a love of the saint and more devotion to him and more knowledge about his courage and the way that he lived heroic virtue.
Now, can this be a middle name, Ashley? I'm really curious about this. I like when there's rewards for saint names, but that is a little bit of a hard one to swallow here. Could this be like a middle name? Could it be a nickname? Does it have to be on the birth certificate?
Yeah, I think there's some room to play here, right? You could call him Eusty. I think there's ways that you could do this. And I can certainly ask them for the specific rules here.
Is that a popular name in Italian to begin with?
It's really not a popular name. But a lot of people know the name because one of the most popular coffee places in Rome is named Sant'Eustachio. So it's named after this very saint. So it's a popular stop for a lot of visitors to Rome. So who knows, between this and the coffee, Sant'Eustachio may just get a comeback.
I know that he had a lot going on when he was being persecuted and stuff, but he could maybe think of a stage name, and then it goes on further. More people would be wanting to name their children after this great saint. But yeah, that is a hard one. But you know, hey, it's good that the coffee is, at least that's a good start.
That's right,
little
exactly.
Eusty.
It's a good start.
There you go,
little Eusty.
All right, the Lenten pilgrimages to some of the station churches in Rome is always a popular thing to do.
Mm-hmm. It sure is, John. It's such a special thing to do during Lenten season. And I am excited, like last week, to share with you a little bit about what this week looked like, some of the highlights, and take you on a virtual pilgrimage to the station churches here with me. So one of the churches visited this week is the Church of San Clemente, St. Clement. And this is that famous multi-level church, which has relics of some of the first fathers of the faith. So, of course, not a lot of people realize this, but it's an opportunity to go to that church and venerate the relics of St. Clement of Rome and also St. Ignatius of Antioch, who was martyred not so far away from the Church of St. Clement, right there in the Colosseum. Another church that was visited this week was St. Cecilia, Santa Cecilia. And this church was built over the home of the martyr Cecilia, and she was condemned to death to suffocate in the steam room of her own home. But she actually survived that, and it's said that all the while she was there in the attempt to suffocate her, she continued to praise the Lord. She continued to sing praises to the Lord. That's why she's the patron saint of music today. And after she survived, eventually she was beheaded. It actually took 3 gashes, though, for the executioner to be successful. And before she died, she continued to praise the Lord. She continued to preach. And she also said that her house should be dedicated as a church. And that's, of course, what it is today. So during the station mass there at the Church of St. Cecilia, people had the opportunity to venerate her incorrupt remains. Those incorrupt remains were brought there from the catacombs of St. Callisto that John, you and I talked about a little bit earlier. So back in 821, her remains were brought to the Church of St. Cecilia. And there at the station church, after celebrating the station mass, not only does one have the opportunity to pray there at her remains, but also to visit the ruins of the ancient home, which are underneath that church. So these station churches are an opportunity to venerate relics of wonderful heroes of the faith, amazing people who've gone before us, to get to know them a little bit better, and to come in unity with English-speaking people from throughout the city who come together, which of course was the long tradition of the station churches, that people would go to different churches in different parts of town every day. But during Lent, each day, the whole city of Rome was invited to come together in unity and celebrate the Holy Mass together. So that beautiful ancient tradition continues today, John, through this station churches tradition.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.